Chapter 17. I'll take point heading into the colony, Reach said. He waited for the others to protest, but nobody did. Instead, they shifted their positions in the marching order, Kreese taking Reach's spot with Day now second in the column.
What's the plan, sir? Tran asked over a private channel. Or is this one of those times we make it up as we go?
The second. We need to play this by ear. See how the people react and let them set the pace.
And if they don't react well?
We'll do what we need to do to make it back to Camp Ohio, Sergeant.
Roger that, sir.
As they crested the ridge via a well-worn path, the hulking ships came more clearly into view. There was indeed more than one craft, unless perhaps these were parts of a single ship. It was difficult to tell since it had been so long, and the black and white trees had done their best to incorporate the tech into their ecosystem. Hull plating was peeled aside, and what might have once been microfissures now spread open like cracked eggshells from which small forests hatched. The rising sun cast its reddish light on the tops of the trees, making them look like charred and flaming embers. Shafts of crimson sunlight cut through, creating a scene that would have been magical if the realities of what had happened to their distant relatives aboard weren't so tragic.
Jared!
Leanna called out from somewhere up ahead. She sounded enthusiastic, happy. She led six others from a brush-obscured section of the muir that looked like it had broken off in a crash. The pods definitely hadn't landed orderly and neatly as designed. Nearby, ugly pits dug out of the landscape gave testimony to the mortar attack.
They look like, I don't know, Indians, Day said.
Native Americans, Kreese corrected him.
This ain't America, Unka growled, and they ain't native.
Perhaps not, thought Reach, but their clothing, like Leanna's, a mix of salvaged fabrics, furs, and skins, suggested they'd become natives, or the closest thing this planet had. Of the six men accompanying Leanna, one kept his eyes fixed on Reach. Reach took this man to be their leader. He was bigger physically, and all of the others seemed to be looking to him for their cues.
Easy, sir, Tran warned. They're armed.
In fact, Leanna was the only one not armed. Though they were still distant, Reach's mind quickly identified the weapons.
Looks like they've got the MG-338s and MCX spears, he said. Everything they didn't load us up with.
You can tell that from here? Reach paused.
Yeah. Good eyesight, I guess.
No point in explaining, it was something Alexa had done. Leanna's party made no threatening movements, which was a good sign, and so were the weapons themselves, assuming these people were allies. Reach had heard the Rangers more than once lament having been sent with M4s. Surely the company would find even more success against RuPak if they got their hands on a next-gen weapon system using 6.5 and 6.8 caliber rounds.
Neado Arujaye!
Shouted one of the men, motioning with his rifle. Leanna turned and whispered something to him. He gave her an ugly look in return and repeated the phrase.
Nah, Brody. Ose,
Leanna said.
This doesn't look good, Day transmitted. Think they want us to drop our weapons?
That's what it looks like to me, replied Kreese.
Shit.
Actually, I think there's an argument over whether they're willing to speak to us in English, Reach said. They call it Brody.
Tran checked in with Overwatch.
You got eyes on us, Massaw?
Of course, the sniper said, calm as ever.
Okay, said Reach. Everyone halt here. I'm going to push on ahead alone, try to show them we're not a threat. He took a few steps forward, his weapon dangling on its carry, arms held out.
I represent the United States government. Osei, we are your friends.
The native who'd shouted raised the muzzle of his rifle. He hadn't shouldered it, but it was pointed more or less in Reach's direction.
Reach, said Sergeant Tran warily.
Reach motioned for them to stay back and keep their weapons down. He addressed the angry man.
Friends. Osei friends.
No,
Leanna shouted, placing herself between Reach and the man's rifle. This seemed to make the others agitated, their fingers flexed against their rifles, ready to react.
Stop it,
Liana said.
I have a shot, Massaw transmitted. Just say the word.
Don't, Reach ordered.
Liana, tell them we're friends.
Liana turned to the angry man and slapped down the barrel of his rifle.
No! Ose, tan ori! Ose!
The weapon didn't rise back up, though its owner seemed more than a little perturbed. The other man looked amused. Liana then marched over to Reach, grabbed him by the arm, and led him closer. As they walked, she pointed at the flag painted on his armor.
Ose,
she said, stabbing the icon several times with the end of her finger.
She's feisty, said Unga.
Ose,
Liana repeated, as though the word was an argument in and of itself.
Say it.
The leader shook his head.
Ose es na makan.
No,
she said firmly, motioning for everyone to lower their weapons. Then softly,
Maren. Maren.
Ose reach Maren.
The men she'd brought from the ship glanced at each other with uncertainty, but finally, following the cue of their leader, they lowered their weapons.
Thank you, Reach said.
He transmitted to his men, hold position, do not present a threat. Liana and the native leader had a short, whispered conversation. Reach was surprised to find he could hear their whispers, but he still couldn't make out what they were saying. His guess was that Liana was retelling what had happened and what she thought should happen next. Reach transmitted again to his team.
The guy Liana's speaking with appears to be the leader. We're going to designate him Muir Actual.
Then count moving right, excluding Liana.
Roger, said Tran.
Muir Actual pointed to the bandage on Liana's arm, then at Reach. He pointed to Reach and began punching the air. It was obvious he was less than thrilled at having this stranger in his camp. Liana turned to Reach and studied him for a few seconds.
No,
she replied, and Reach wondered if she was using that English word for his benefit.
Is Ose Tumo Ano Ali?
She crossed her arms. She'd made up her mind. The men's reaction was curious. They were now much more focused on her than the Rangers, as if at the moment she was the larger threat. Muir Actual gave her a long, hard stare before finally waving a finger in her face and turning away to depart. He barked harsh, alien words as he went, and the others followed his lead, leaving Liana alone with the Rangers. Liana sighed and turned to again face Reach. She had tears in her eyes. Apparently things hadn't gone well from her perspective. But to Reach, it was a good start. They had avoided open hostilities, which was the biggest danger. Trust could be built from there.
Come now,
Liana said, motioning for Reach and the others to follow.
What just happened? Kreese asked.
I think she just put her foot down,
Day replied.
Or like she just stuck her neck out for us, Reach transmitted.
Let's mind our manners, everyone. She may have sacrificed more than we realized to get us this far.
Roger, they replied as one.
Jared,
Liana said, her voice soft and reflective.
Come. You now can meet Cracewell.
She offered her hand. Reach took it and allowed her to guide him.
Did she just say Cracewell?
Kreese whispered.
She did, didn't she? That's my last name.
Roger, I heard it too, Reach transmitted. Massaw, do your best to keep eyes on us. Not sure where we're headed.
Want me to come with you? The sniper asked.
Negative. They don't know you're out there, and we don't know if there are more Rupak looking to move on this position. Keep an eye on things. We'll be in touch.
Roger. I'll let you know if anything interesting happens.
Liana guided Reach and the others toward a smaller Muir pod, about 50 meters wide and twice as long. This one was relatively undamaged, as if it separated from the others before the crash. Assuming there was a crash. A heavy brown animal skin with dark, uneven stripes hung against the hull. She pushed it aside to reveal an entrance and pulled Reach along.
Good luck, Massaw transmitted.
The interior of the ship was lit by what appeared to be clay oil lamps. It was hard to be sure, but Reach suspected this section had once been for storage. All the racks and boxes were long gone, but the tie-downs were visible, though they had been put to use to hang the lamps, skins, rugs, and other household items. The floor was covered in layers of skins as well, and more were piled along the walls. The men of their welcoming party were there ahead of them, sitting among the furs along one wall, their rifles within easy reach. But Reach's assessment of who was in charge changed when he saw the old man sitting in the center of the space. His thin gray hair stuck out in all directions, creating something like a halo around his head in the lamplight. He seemed frail. He practically swam in his clothes, and Reach thought he could almost see the man's spine through the skin hanging at his throat, but also alert, with clear, bright eyes. His expression was hopeful, interested, and excited. He made a show of smiling and nodding at the rangers as they entered.
"Osei Jared," Lyanna said, tapping Reach's chest with her hand. She turned to Reach and motioned toward the old man. "Osei Creswell."
"No is your Zhang Wenma?" the old man asked. His voice was surprisingly deep.
That sounded like Chinese, so Reach took a guess. "I don't speak Chinese, sorry." Lyanna looked back and forth between the two men a couple of times. Then she whispered something to the old man, who nodded and spoke again.
"You speak Brody?"
"We call it English," Reach said, "but yes." The old man smiled, revealing the few teeth that remained to him.
"Good. He's good. Please sit. All please sit."
He motioned to the rest of the team and gestured to a pile of furs in front of him. Reach sat a couple of feet away, directly in front of him, and set his helmet to his side. A couple of the men sitting against the wall shifted their positions a bit.
"I think I'll stand and keep an eye on everyone," Unga said.
"Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea," said Tran.
"He invited us all to sit," Reach reminded them. "Take spots along the wall opposite his men. Mirror them. Do what they do. If they raise their rifles, so do you, but don't make the first move. This feels like progress. Let's not be the ones to spoil it." Lyanna looked disappointed when the rangers took seats along the wall. She bit her lip and looked like she was going to ask Reach a question, then apparently gave up and sat a little to one side, facing both him and the elder. She brought her knees to her chest, wrapped her arms around them, and watched with interest. The old man studied the rangers for a moment, then he turned his head to his own soldiers and nodded. It looked like he wasn't too happy about the arrangement, but he seemed to understand.
"I am Osei Creswell," he said, tapping a gnarled finger against his chest.
"I am Jared Reach," Reach replied, tapping his own chest.
Creswell watched him, then gave Reach a look like he'd expected more.
"You are Osei?"
Reach pointed at the flag on his armor.
"If you mean this, the answer is yes. I am a citizen of the United States of America, sent to establish a colony here on Amir, USA. Is that what you mean?"
Creswell murmured something to Lyanna, who touched the flag and shrugged. The old man licked his lips before speaking again.
"Osei is American. USA. Same, same?"
Lyanna leaned forward, staring into Reach's eyes.
"Osei. American. Osei."
"Yes," replied Reach. "Same."
Creswell smiled and murmured a question to Lyanna, who whispered,
"Jared."
"Osei is good,"
the old man said, turning back to Reach.
"Jared, friend to the Rubik?"
"No," Reach replied, shaking his head vigorously. "We are no friend to the Rupak."
The old man smiled, but quickly frowned as one of his men interjected something sharply in their language. Creswell made a hissing noise, and the man clamped his lips tightly together. Reach leaned in.
"Osei Creswell, this ship, is it the Muir?"
The old man's bushy eyebrows raised a bit.
"Muir,"
he whispered, as if tasting the word. Then he moved the edge of a skin near his foot, revealing the metal floor. Patting it, he whispered,
"Muir. Yes, this is Muir.
long it has been here. Long before we. Long before.
Tell me, Reach said.
Osei Cracewell nodded slowly.
So long it is.
He paused as if searching for the right word.
Legend?
Reach nodded, urging him forward.
The Rupik, he said, closing his eyes. Came follow. To kill. To destroy. The Kinil did battle. Died to save the Founders. We live because of Kinil.
Colonel?
Trans asked via implant.
Possibly, Reach responded.
Osei has not been peace, the old man continued. No, never peace for long. Sometimes, many years. But eventually, always fight. Always the Rupik do return to kill. We are here. We stay here. We fight, but never peace. Always we are fighting.
He stared intently into Reach's eyes.
Do you bring peace?
It was a question Reach had not been expecting.
To our friends, yes.
Cracewell smiled and said something over his shoulder. His men gasped. After repeating the phrase, one got up. Leaving his rifle behind, he fetched a rolled skin from somewhere in the back. The man returned and halted a few feet from Reach, staring at him as though he were the strangest man alive. He held the bundle out for the elder and laid it gently in his arms, almost reverently.
This is Osei,
Cracewell said, breathing out a long, heavy sigh as he laid the rolled skin in his lap.
Very old. Founders did give.
The rest of the men leaned forward in anticipation.
Many and much the people have waited for Osei,
Cracewell whispered, stroking the skin gently.
Founders say to give this to the Osei. Say the people will have peace. What say you?
I'm sorry, replied Reach. I'm not sure I understand. What is this?
Does Osei Jarrett bring peace?
I'm here representing a United States colony that is defended by a company of Osei Rangers.
Reach nodded back at Tran's squad to emphasize the warriors. The old man's eyes brightened at the word Ranger.
Eventually peace will prevail, Reach continued. We will destroy Rupak completely to achieve peace.
Great speech. It was Alexa.
You're here?
Reach asked through the implant. Wouldn't miss it. This is exciting.
Well, keep it down. It's important.
My synthetic lips are sealed. Osei Cracewell gave a single nod and passed the skin carefully to Reach. It was lighter than Reach had expected. He began to unroll it.
What is it? Asked Day.
It's a flag.
Though the fabric was fragile and had lost much of its color, the red and white stripes of Old Glory were unmistakable.
An American flag.
Osei, the old man whispered. America.
Contact, Nassau transmitted. About 30 Rupak fighters, low crawling through the forest, to your west, moving east. They're wearing rags like before. I can see a couple of their high-tech rifles. Not sure what the rest have. I have a shot.
The Rangers tensed, which caused the men on the other side of the room to grab their rifles. Liana gasped, and the old man raised his arms to cover his head. His guards leapt to their feet, rifles pointed at Reach and the Rangers, who were aiming their own weapons right back.
At ease, Reach ordered, raising a hand to both sides of the room. Nobody shoots! Lower your weapons!
With steely resolve, Tran's squad obeyed the order. Reach turned toward the native soldiers.
Lower your weapons.
Their expression and posture suggested they had no intention of obeying, if they even understood. But neither did they open fire. Reach turned to Cracewell.
Rupak is headed this way. 30 men.
He flashed all 10 fingers 3 times.
Do you understand?
30 Rupik? The old man whispered.
That's right. 30 enemy headed this way.
Reach gestured to his rangers. We will help defend your encampment. We're ready to help, but we need to hurry. Where do you need us?
The old man looked stunned for a moment, but quickly recovered. He hissed at his men, who lowered their weapons sheepishly.
Do not engage, Reach told Massaw. Don't give away your position.
Roger. They're almost up in the camp.
Roger, out.
Reach repeated his question to Crazewell.
Where do you need us?
The old man laughed.
He's only 30? Not need to defend.
That sounded odd, given that all they seemed capable of doing when under mortar attack was sheltering inside the Muir. Reach's confusion must have been evident, for the elder nodded peacefully.
Brody will fight.
Brody? Like we're speaking now? We're speaking, Brody? The Rupak are here to talk?
The old man shifted and pulled something from beneath the skin he was sitting on, a small flat piece of metal. He tapped it twice and pressed it to the side of his head.
That's an implant, Tran said.
Brody, said Osei Crazewell, talking into the implant as though it were a radio. Rupik is coming. Fight them. Okay, okay?
Reach was about to ask Leanna who or what a Brody was when a voice boomed outside the Muir.
Who's ready for Brody's Yeet Boogaloo?
The challenge was followed by a cacophony of gunfire.